Chapter 37. I'm going to read verse 5 and verses 19 and 20, and then I'm going to tell you a story. This is a Bible story. And just pray for me that I hate my squeaky voice, but I want to tell you, to me, one of the neatest stories in the whole Bible. And it's about Joseph. I've read so many times that Joseph is a type of Christ. The title of this message is Look, the Dreamer is Coming. And I'll tell you what inspired that title. In politics, there's a lot of talk about Dreamer and DACA. So the first miracle is I'm going to hush up about politics. Do you have an opinion? Oh, yeah. But I'd rather focus on the dreams of each one of us in Calvary Temple. We have dreams. And those dreams, I heard a guy say the other day, everybody in America should have dreams, and I agree with that. And I agree with Calvary Temple's dreams are important. How many's had dreams lately that you can remember? Sometimes we think they're of God and they have significance. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're probably not. We really can't put, you know, a lot of emphasis on all dreams, but there are some dreams that you know are from God. I had a silly dream this past week of being in the same place as Jennifer Aniston and Bradley Cooper. Now, these are people that I'm not even, you know, big deal to me. These are young people, but I remember thinking, they're just people. That's true. Everyone's just people. But we have dreams. We have goals. There's a lot of our dreams that sometimes we think, oh my goodness, it's too late for that dream to come to pass. But I want to tell you, I want you to be renewed in your dream today. Is that reasonable? You say, well, yeah, but I dreamed that when I was 40. I know the difference between when I was 40 and now. I know that difference well. But God is able to renew and strengthen the dreams that we've had. And if you would like, at the end of this message, we can share. If you feel like you'd like to share your dream, and why is that? Well, let's look at Genesis 37 and 5. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers, and they hated him even more. How would you like to have a dream, and you tell it, and everybody starts hating you? They didn't just start because they already hated him. In Genesis 37, 19 and 20, it says, they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now, I'm going to tell you, dreams from God are very important. And I've thought for years Joseph should have kept his mouth shut, but he couldn't have kept his mouth shut. It was all part of the plan. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless and anoint this story of Joseph, his dream, and his faithfulness to you. And his faithfulness to work good for his family in all adversity that he faced. So help us, Lord, with our dreams. Help us to renew dreams that we thought may be too late. But you've got wonderful things ahead for us. And we want to see every one of those blessings come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph was about 17 years old, and the first thing he does is rats out his brothers. By that, he told on them. How many's ever had a sibling that told on you? What'd you want to do? Pound them good, right? I mean, that's what they deserve, boy. But Joseph was different. He had 11 other brothers eventually. I think at this time it may have only been 10 when he had this dream. But Joseph was so different from his brothers because he loved God like his father Jacob. And without any different treatment, that's the choice that he made, to love and to be faithful to God and the teaching of his father. And he was just downline a little bit. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph. So just that far into Israel's history. And so Jacob loved him so much that he gave him a coat of many colors. This is not a rag coat like Dolly Parton sings about. How many's ever worn things that were patched? I have. They were kind of cool. They probably would sell like crazy today, right? And but anyway, this coat was a special coat that was actually pertaining to the birthright. Joseph didn't deserve the birthright because he wasn't the oldest. And the birthright gave that person the double blessing of what the father and mother and family had. So Joseph has a dream and he shares it. And the dream was, we were all out harvesting wheat and we were tying our bundles. And my bundle stood straight up at attention, and your bundles bowed down to my bundle. Now, if you were one of the other brothers, you might think the same thing. That rascal, look at him, trying to come along from way down line, 10th, 11th, whatever, and trying to take the place of Reuben. And then he said, I had another dream. And I dreamed that the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed before me. His father scolded him. And said, I think he probably was thinking, you know, you can have dreams, but be careful, because you're just making your brothers awfully mad. And yet, Jacob wondered about those dreams and what significance that they would play in their lives. And his brothers just flat hated him. They just didn't have any use for this guy. His father showed love for him, but his father loved him not, especially because of just he was the favorite or he was the baby, but because he loved God. And he knew that there was a connection that they had. How many of us have family members that we're not as close to as we are brothers and sisters in the Lord? That just, I think that's natural that we have fellowship and we share our faith in God and it's so strong. And Jacob and Joseph had that connection. Then his father sent him to check on his brothers. I want you to go out and see how they're doing. Jacob had a lot of sheep. And they were scattered in different directions. He had different parts of the family working and watching over different parts of their sheep. So Joseph went to Shechem, which was about 50 miles away. How would you like to get told, you want to walk 50 miles, see how your brothers are doing? I would have said, they're doing fine. You know them, they're awfully good at what they do. But Joseph, being the committed son that he was, he said, okay, I'll go, I'll see, yes, sir, I'm on my way. He got to Shechem and the brothers weren't there, and a man said, oh, yeah, they're about 12 miles further at Dothan. And so he headed out 12 more miles after 62 miles to see it. How his brothers are doing. It kind of reminds me of the story of David, right? Going out to bring some stuff to his brothers. And I believe that Joseph may have had a few things to bring his brothers, something that they may not have had for a while. And, you know, when you're out camping, so to speak, watching sheep, something from home would be really good. When his brothers saw him, there they go with that, oh my goodness, look, this dreamer is coming. Now, they had no value for Joseph's dreams. They didn't care a thing about his dream. All they saw was how it made them look. And it made them look exactly the way they were. They weren't all that faithful to God. They weren't all that committed to God. But as soon as they saw him coming, they started talking about how can we kill him and just get him out of our hair. He just is so annoying. And we hate him so much. And Reuben, who was the oldest, that was on, who was deserving by birth of the birthright, saved Joseph. He said, yeah, you know what? I think what we should do is put him in a pit. You know, kind of give us some time to work this out. And he wanted him gone, but he didn't want him dead. He didn't want to bring that upon his father. So they put him in a pit and they sat down to have a nice dinner. Maybe Joseph brought some things along. This is supposition, but and they were enjoying that, and you know, figs and whatever and cheese or whatever that was brought to them, and really enjoying it. And then they looked up and they saw the Ishmaelites, Midianites, and these were both from the tribe of Abraham. From Ishmael and from the sons of Keturah. And Judah said, I've got an idea. This is a win-win. Let's sell him. Let's sell him to those guys. They're kind of family after all. And they won't just kill him. And that way we'll get something from him, for him. And so as the Ishmaelites got closer and the Midianites, Judah and the brothers sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And Joseph was a young guy. And I read one commentary that said 20 pieces was enough for a young guy like him, under 20. And so they got something from him and got him gone. And off to Egypt you go, Joseph. The brothers took his coat of many colors, killed a kid, a lamb, and put blood on it. And then they took it back to Jacob and they said, look what we found along the way. What do you think happened, Dad? And then, of course, Jacob was just horrified at the loss of his son. Oh, an animal must have got a hold of him and killed him. And this is all I've got is his bloody coat. I believe that there had to be some conviction set upon these brothers for taking this so far and putting their father through that. But I also believe, how many has ever done something wrong and you didn't want to face the punishment of it? I also believe they didn't want to come clean before Jacob because they didn't know maybe what he might do. Jacob's heart was broken. He mourned his favorite son. He said, I'll mourn him until I die. And there was something that was missing from his heart until he found out the truth. Joseph was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was the captain of the palace guards. He was very well positioned. He was a wealthy man. And Joseph started there at Potiphar's house and he worked himself into a position of controlling everything that Potiphar had. It said that Potiphar didn't know how much he had in his banking account, but Joseph knew. And Joseph took good care of it. And what it says is that the Lord was with Joseph. I'm going to tell you what, when you go through all of these things, and no doubt being sold by your brothers has kind of a negative effect on you, right? That's got to hurt. But Joseph goes on and he stands for what's right, and his relationship with God wasn't blown out. He believed in God. He believed that the right thing would bring him blessing and strength and favor of God. This was a man that wasn't just a servant, but he was a minister of the Most High God. So everything's going along pretty good. Until Mrs. Potiphar, which may have been the first desperate housewife of the area, She got to paying the wrong kind of attention to Joseph. Joseph was a young man, and the scripture says that he was very handsome and strong, and no doubt he worked out at the local gym and all that stuff. But she began to pay the wrong kind of attention, and he would not have it. Oh, what a godly young man. A godly young man that would not. Why? Because he respected Potiphar. He even respected the wife that was not doing the right thing because of she was Potiphar's wife, and he respected that, and he feared God. To do something that was wrong and to make that mistake was not what he wanted. He wanted the blessing of God, and he did not want to aggravate or make God upset. But Potiphar believed his wife and put Joseph in prison. Now, I think he probably could have had Joseph beheaded or something, but God was still working. Joseph had worked into the heart of Potiphar enough to where he didn't want to see him killed, and he put him in the prison where the king's prisoners were. I got a feeling this is a little bit better maybe than where some of the other prisoners were. It didn't take Joseph long to work his way up to the top. Even in prison, he got to know the head guy, and he took over the responsibilities. He organized. The scripture says that the head guy didn't know who was there for what, but Joseph did, because he paid close attention, because God's hand was upon Joseph, and he was anointed and blessed. How many has ever felt the hand of God on the job that you do, helping you and strengthening you? God can work in everything we do and be a blessing to us and help us in things that are difficult and things that we don't understand, in decisions that we have to make. God is there. And so he did such a good job. He was made the head of the prison. The next thing is that the chief butler and the chief baker offended the king. That wasn't a smart thing to do. I don't like the way this turns out, because I don't believe in killing bakers, because I think they have a wonderful ministry of baking and giving to us wonderful things to eat. But that's not the way this story goes. The baker and the butler offended the king, and they were put in prison. And guess what? They had a dream. They had a dream of that were both different, similar in the days, but very soon they had a dream, and they were upset. And Joseph comes along and says, "What's wrong? Why are you guys so sad?" "Well, we've had a dream, and we don't understand it." So the butler had a dream that there was a vine that had three branches, and that it budded, and then grapes came from the buds, and he pressed the grapes into the cup of the king, and he didn't understand what that meant. He just didn't know. So Joseph said, "3 days the king will lift up your head and will restore you to your old position." That's good news. He said, "But would you remember me when you're restored? Get me out of this place." He said, "I was taken forcefully from my family and, well, sold. And it was the wrong thing for them to do. And now I don't belong in this dungeon. I belong doing something else." So the baker thought, "Wow, that's good news. I'm going to share my dream." And he shared his dream about three white baskets on his head and birds eating the baked goods that come out of it. His story was way different, his interpretation. And his interpretation was, 3 days the king will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. The third day after these dreams was Pharaoh's birthday. And he had to have some excitement on his birthday. So the butler got promoted back or released from jail and back to what he was doing. And the baker was hung, and the birds ate of his flesh. The bad news is the butler forgot about Joseph. Isn't that awful? He just forgot. He was okay. His interpretation came true, just like Joseph said, but he forgot. And then it was after a while, Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh dreamed about 7 big, healthy, fat, beautiful cows. Oh, these were, if the king was impressed, they must have been impressive. And then he had a dream about 7 cows that were scrawny, gaunt, ugly. I mean, ugly. Sometimes cows just seem ugly no matter what, but that's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And the 7 thin, ugly cows ate the good cows. And there was no difference. They didn't look any healthier. And then he had another dream. 7 heads of grain on 1 stalk. And it was so beautiful and so plump and so plentiful. And then there were 7 thin heads that were blighted by the east wind. And they devoured the good grain. And again, they were no better for it. So he was troubled. And when he woke up, troubled, not knowing what this dream meant. So he called for the magicians and the wise men, and no one had a clue what this dream meant. Isn't it amazing how God orchestrates? How he stands in a place that did not have respect for him, and he was still in control. And God said, well, how do you feel? You want to know what that is? How many, when you have something that's a question that's bothering you, you want to get to the answer? Pharaoh, the king, was the same way, and he was troubled. Now the butler finally woke up. Oh my goodness, there's a guy in jail where I was, and he can interpret dreams. And Pharaoh said, let's get him here now. I want it now. So Joseph got cleaned up, he shaved, he got ready to go meet the king. And he said, the king said, I understand you interpret dreams. And Joseph said, it's not within me, but God knows everything, and I know God. And I will help you, God will give you the answer. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was there present. And Pharaoh shared his dream, and Joseph said, well, here's what this means. There's going to be 7 years that will be plentiful, 7 years, and you'll have more, way more than we could ever use or that could be used. Remember, Joseph just come from jail. And he said, and then there's going to be 7 years that are going to be famine, nothing. We will starve to death if we depend on that, what we have then. The whole Middle East, the whole area here will be destroyed. And he said, so you've got to find someone and let them help you save during the big plentiful time so that when the famine comes, you're good. You're ready for the bad years. And Pharaoh said, that's a great idea. Joseph, I appoint you. That was a good choice for him, for the Pharaoh. I appoint you. Now, Pharaoh was good with his appointment of Joseph. All of his other leaders, his high in command, were okay with that. That's a miracle, folks. When an outsider comes from jail and is promoted to second in the kingdom, and Pharaoh said, I'm just going to give you all of my authority. I'm going to give you my signet. I'm going to give you this necklace. And anything you want to do, Joseph, to help us, you do it. You have all authority. The only thing is you don't have authority over me. Everybody else, you have authority to tell them what to do, and they will do it. Can you imagine that? Coming from jail. But why was this? Because God was with Joseph. Why was this? Because God gave Joseph a dream, and that dream was going to be fulfilled at the hand of God. And there was nothing. Being in the pit, being sold by his brothers, being in jail, falsely accused, the ups and downs that he faced and that he endured, but God was with him and God was protecting him. So God gave Joseph the wisdom to know how to gather in everything that was extra and build storage containers. And it said that there was so much that they had that they even lost track of how much there was. There was such plenty in the 7 years of plenty. So much. And Joseph was given wisdom to know how to handle it, know how to store it, know how to keep it so that they could endure. Not only could they endure, but the whole Middle East could come to them and be saved from famine because of what Joseph was doing. He had great power and great authority, and he had great wisdom. God was with him. So 2 years after the famine begins, Jacob gets hungry and looks around and says, "We got to go get something to eat." And he sends his sons to Egypt. Who do they meet? The one that everybody in Egypt met, Joseph. He was a guy that distributed. He was a guy that did everything. He was the boss. They didn't realize that, the brothers didn't realize Joseph was who he was, but he recognized them, of course. And he kind of messed with them a little bit, giving them some grain and then keeping one guy and wanting Benjamin because, according to the commentary, Benjamin wasn't born until after Joseph was sold off. And so this was his only brother. He and Benjamin were Rachel and Jacob's children, sons, and the others were from different mothers. But he wanted to see Benjamin, and he said, "You got to go get him. I think you guys are putting me on and you're spies, and you're just trying to find out what's going on down here. I don't trust you." So they went and finally talked Jacob into letting Benjamin go, and it was a tough one because he remembered the hurt of losing Joseph, and he didn't want to lose another son. His brothers, one brother actually said, "You could take my kids and do whatever you want with them if I don't bring Benjamin back." And I'm thinking, that's a grandfather is going to do something to his grandchildren? I don't think that works out. But Jacob finally let him go, and then when he went, they put Joseph had the servant put a cup in his bag, and then when he left, they sent people to find him and said, "Look what you've done. After all that I did good for you, and look what you've done." And I want to read in chapter 45, verses 1 through 5, and it said, "Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those that stood by him, and he cried out, 'Make everyone go out from me, all the servants and all of the Egyptians.' So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Does my father still live?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence." You talk about guilt, right? "And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near to me.' So they came near. And then he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God has sent me before you to preserve life.' The only way that Israel had hope of life during this famine was for Joseph to be where he was. And when they come looking for something, Joseph was able to help them. Not only was he able to give them a little food, but he was able to bring them down to Egypt and provide for them." I'm going to tell you what, this was not commodities. This was not a little bit, but he provided for his family like the king was provided for. He gave them all that they could use, all that they could have. And it took a little while, for they sent carts out and brought Jacob. 66 souls went down, and then Joseph had 4. Joseph was married, and his wife was Asenath, and he had 2 sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Manasseh means forgetfulness, because the Lord put on his heart that I should forget all of the things that led to me being here. And then faithfulness, that the Lord is faithful, and that the Lord used the dream. The Lord used that dream to motivate and drive Joseph to where he would be faithful to God. And it would be easy for him at many times to say, "Where are you at, God? I'm in jail for nothing. I didn't do anything wrong." It's terrible to be falsely accused of anything. It's awful. But I'm in jail. I'm in the pit. My brothers just sold me to the Ishmaelites and Midianites. But he didn't question God. He just kept going and doing the right thing, driven, I think, by that dream. After Jacob had died and was taken back to his land for burial, in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 20 and 21, the brothers thought, "Uh-oh, our father's gone. Now he's going to clean our clocks." They knew that it was right, because what they did. But Joseph had a different idea. He said, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." The dream, folks. Remember those bundles of grain. And remember the sun, the moon, and the stars. God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people. They not only saved themselves and their family, their 70, they saved the then known world around there, the Middle East area. They saved Egypt. Joseph saved Egypt. He saved the other nations around that didn't have anything, and he sold them food, and he blessed Egypt. Everything about what Egypt had was better because of Joseph. They had more of everything. So he saved many people alive. "Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. There's something about a dream. There's something about what God puts in the hearts of men and women. And it is powerful. And it'll help you during difficult times. It'll help you. Does anyone have a dream that you want to share? You say, "Why are you doing that?" Well, Joseph shared his dream. And if Joseph hadn't shared his dream, he may not have been hated enough to be sold. See how the plan of God is? God uses the nature of people. Boy, we hate to be talked down to like that, especially from a young punk like Joseph. But God used Joseph. He saved Israel. He saved Egypt. And it was fueled by the dream of a 17-year-old blabbermouth that couldn't keep his dream quiet. And I'm not saying anybody be a blabbermouth if you share. Now I've messed myself up here. Anyone want to share a dream? Anything at all that the Lord has laid on you that you want to share and you want to hold on to for victory? I'll share one dream, and then I guess, if nobody else wants to, I've had a dream or a vision of being in a church service. I watched years ago, Reinhard Bonnke, and in a service in Africa, where the Holy Spirit moved over the crowd, and just everybody just laid. It was almost like people doing the wave, only this was not voluntary. These people were trying to stand, and it didn't work. They all were laid out before the presence of God. I'd love to be in a service like that. Now, when we get older, we don't want to just crash out, right? But the Lord is gentle in what he does. The Lord won't hurt us. The Lord won't hurt us. But I'd like to be in the presence of God so much. Anyone else have a thought before we pray? Then we will pray. Debbie, would you come to the piano? I believe some way or another that God's going to use a song to bring a big blessing to Calvary Temple. I don't know what song. I don't know how. How can a song do that? But I believe there's a song. I don't know if it's one that was written 500 years ago. There's a lot of beautiful songs written a long time ago. Or one that hasn't been written yet. I don't know. But I believe there'll be a song that will bring such a power and a blessing to us. Would you stand this morning? I'd like us to, let's have prayer and then we'll find a place to pray. Precious Savior, we pray blessing upon your people, blessing and strength. Lord, you see every mile that we've walked. You see everything within our minds and our hearts. You see the things that are so difficult and so hard. And I pray you bring blessing to each one. Lord, that you'll give us something to hold on to that will not be moved, that will not let us go, let us down. But Lord, that we will see victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Lord God, I pray blessing and strength and provision. I pray, Lord, that you'll lift us up by your Holy Spirit, that we will be fully yielded, Lord. And as you've spoken to us this morning, there have been rough roads. But you are the one that's going to give us a smooth road. You're the one that's going to answer the prayer. We will have rough roads in the future. The word says we'll have tribulation in this world. But be of good courage because I've overcome the world. Mercy, Lord, the sledgehammer of grace. For your people, strength in every life. I pray for your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Find a place and give a comment. Praise God. That's a good one. Praise God. Let's just find a place and pray and seek the Lord, and God bless you. Holy God. children, I speak to you to look into the face of your Almighty God and don't look anywhere else. If you look to man, you're going to be disappointed. But if you look to me, I'm going to save you from all circumstances, and I'm going to bless you beyond your imagination, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. is so wonderful when someone speaks to you from God. More wonderful than that is when God speaks to you himself. And it's more of a driving force to help us. We appreciate the Spirit of God, and we appreciate each one of you. Before you leave, you should leave this door and grab some lemons on the way out. That's not spiritual, but they're not going to last. Lord, we praise you for your Spirit. We praise you for your people. Pray blessing, Lord, by your Spirit upon your people. Help us, Lord God, in everything that we do. I pray that tomorrow morning will be a glorious Monday for those that are getting up and headed to work, and for those who are getting up and headed to doing what they want to do. I pray blessing upon us all in Jesus' name. Amen.